Is inflation just couch surfing for a bit, or is it moving in for real? I'm David Brancaccio. The 10-year benchmark interest rate is up at 1.67% now, and stocks are down in early trading after forecasters did not see a spike in inflation coming. The consumer price index that measures prices at the retail level that most of us see went up 0.8% from just March to April. And compared to a year ago, inflation's running at a 4.2% rate, the highest since before the great financial collapse of 2008. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, told me this morning she still views this as acute, not chronic.
That annual number is distorted because we were in a pandemic. People weren't going out. Everything was shutting down. Costs were, of course, dropping. And so when you look at that in comparison, you're going to get a large number. Markets expected that coming into today, and that's why you're not seeing a huge move in the market this morning.
The question that can't be answered is, does this persist, or is this the famous spring into summer blip of 2021, right? That's what people are looking for, is an answer to that.
Yes, that's what the market is going to be focused on for the next several months. Is this inflation, or is this just a year-over-year sign that the economy is getting back to normal? And that debate is going to rage on in the coming months. We're not going to know for sure, really, until we get to the fall. And so market participants are going to be betting one way or the other. I expect a lot of volatility in the market as a result, because people aren't going to know.
Mm-hmm. Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, head of U.S. equities there. Thank you.
Thank you.
The natural human urge to top up gas tanks just in case is feeding into the problem of gas stations running dry after the country's biggest fuel pipeline was disabled by a cyber attack. Colonial Pipeline has directed its people to open some valves manually to get some gas moving. Meanwhile, the chief energy regulator is pointing that pipeline companies, unlike electric power companies, are not required to harden their systems against computer hacking, something federal regulators could soon move to change. Marketplace's Samantha Fields now has more on what federal and state governments are doing now to smooth out the gasoline supply.
The Colonial Pipeline carries 2.5 million barrels of fuel a day from the Gulf Coast all up along the East Coast. And moving that much fuel without it is not easy, says Willie Shee at Harvard Business School. But
there are buffer inventories all along the pipeline and all along the distribution network.
And he says there are things the federal government can do and is doing to move supply around more quickly. One of the big ones:
the administration suspended the hourly limit that truck drivers can drive while they're driving tanker trucks around.
States are also taking action. Georgia, for example, has increased the amount of weight trucks are allowed to carry on its roads and bridges, says Devin Gladden at AAA.
So that allows for heavier tankers to drive more gasoline to stations that need it. The other thing the state has done is to waive the state gas tax
to help stabilize gas prices. Gladden says consumers also have a role to play in not panic buying. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Also on our vulnerable infrastructure patrol today is news. The Interstate 40 bridge over the Mississippi has been closed after a crack was found. I-40 is the big east-west route through the South. The bridge is the one linking West Memphis to Arkansas. A legal victory for Amazon over a big European tax bill. The EU's second highest court today ruled the tech giant doesn't have to pay more than $300 million in back taxes. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has more on that from London.
Under Competition Commissioner Marguerite Vestager, the EU has been on a mission to crack down on unfair tax deals for multinational corporations across the 27-nation bloc. The ruling today from the General Court in Luxembourg, though, has delivered the latest blow to that effort, which has so far had mixed results. Back in 2017, the European Commission accused Luxembourg of extending tax privileges to Amazon, which it said counted as illegal state aid. The Commission argued Luxembourg allowed the company to avoid paying tax on most of its profits by letting it channel them to a holding company. Today, though, the court ruled Amazon actually gained no selective advantage. Amazon has welcomed the ruling and, in a statement, said the decision is in line with the company's long-standing position that it followed all applicable laws and received no special treatment. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Nashville still trying to sort out bad flooding in late March. One hard-hit area is home to many immigrants. A small Kurdish market lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in inventory to high water. But as WPLN's Alexis Marshall reports, the community has come together to get the Bhutan market going again, with the Muslim celebration of Eid al-Fitr beginning this evening.
The sound of packages dropping into a shopping cart is welcome for the owners of Bhutan Market in South Nashville. Shortly after the flood, the path leading to the front door of the family-owned business was lined with more than $300,000 worth of inventory, piled up in trash bags, sitting in puddles of mud. The owners did not have flood insurance.
Putting just all that product, you know, into these trash bags and then just piling it out here, it's like a punch in the gut.
That's Zindan Barwari, a close family friend of the shop owners. He says that hit was especially hard with Ramadan just around the corner. Evan Tovey, one of the owners, says the market makes about four times what it would in a regular month during Ramadan.
That's where we make our money, and I was gone.
But then the support poured in, and not just from Nashville's Kurdish community, which is the largest in the country. People from across the city donated their time and more than $11,000 to an online fundraiser. As a result, Halan Tovey, whose family owns the business, says they were able to reopen less than a month after the flooding and in time to salvage the end of the busy season.
It's honestly a blessing. Like, it honestly makes me emotional to know that there's people out here helping and there's people that care.
Customers are grateful to have the market back, too. Ehsan Tunjiran is originally from Turkey and says he's been a loyal shopper for 3 years.
Everything I can find in my country, I can find it here.
There are still some tough decisions ahead for the owners, like whether to move the market to a new location or lift the building up to avoid more flood damage in the future. But for now, they're focusing on the immediate, waiting for more stock to come in, a new sink, a permanent cash register, putting the family business back together one piece at a time. In Nashville, I'm Alexis Marshall for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.